This is text is one of my favorite texts. Let me go ahead and read verses 6 to 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not only me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the great privilege of preaching your word and these people. Lord, these people that are here today, we're thankful. They could have went anywhere else if they wanted, but they chose to be here, and we believe they're here by divine appointment. And Lord, we pray that perhaps through this message today, somebody's heart be touched. Maybe somebody be saved as a result of hearing your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this text of Scripture. I love to read it. I draw strength from it on quite a few occasions. But here Paul is, this is the last epistle that he writes. He wrote over half the New Testament, and now he realizes that his life is almost over. He realizes that his time has come. The Lord had given him some kind of inkling to that. He was in a Roman prison. And what was going to eventually happen to him is they beheaded him. They took a sword. That's how the Romans did it. They took a sword and they took off his head. He was a faithful man. He served the Lord. Once the Lord saved him, there's nobody that put the effort into their Christian life more than the Apostle Paul. He was dedicated to the cause of Christ, and he gave his life for the cause of Christ. He's one of my heroes and one of the people I want to see in glory other than the master would be the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. He was a great man of God. Now, he's in prison and he's writing to this young preacher by the name of Timothy. He loved Timothy and Titus. He loved them, and they were young preachers that trained under him. And now he realizes, as he's writing to this young man, he realizes that this is going to be it, that it's going to be time to leave. And he realized, and one of these days, every one of us is going to have that. Y'all agree? One of these days, every one of us is going to be, there will be a departure time for us. I don't know when I like to think mine's way down the future, but the fact of the matter is, nobody here today knows when your departure time is. That's why you always have to be what? You always got to be ready to go. You always got to be ready to go. It's very, very important. So he says, I'm now ready to be offered. And it's an interesting word, that word offered. If you look it up, it referred back in the Old Testament when they offered a sacrifice. Sometimes what they would do is they would take a cup of wine and they would pour it. They would pour it on the sacrifice, and they burn up with the sacrifice. And that's the word there. That's the word there for I'm now ready to be offered. And the idea of it, I'm now ready to be poured hot. I'm ready to be poured out. I'm ready to be poured out. Now, isn't that a pretty picture? If I take this water and I dump it over into the other one, and then that cup would be an empty what? An empty vessel. And that's what he's referring to his death as. He's getting ready to be poured out. His vessel was getting ready to leave his body. And then he was going to go off to be with the Lord. All God's people said. That's what he means by being poured out. I'm getting ready to get poured out. He's telling you, listen, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to die. And with regard to him, he's getting ready to go up. He's getting ready to go up. He served the Lord in a magnificent manner. One of the most dedicated men that ever walked this planet was the Apostle Paul. Half the New Testament he wrote, churches he started. I tell you what, he loved the Lord, and the Lord saved him graciously, didn't he? Before he was an enemy, before he spoke against the ministers and the churches of the Lord, and then by the grace of God, on the road to Damascus, Jesus interceded in his life and changed his life. And he was the grace preacher, buddy. You want to talk about a grace preacher, you talk to Paul. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God made him the different. He realized he didn't earn salvation. He realized he didn't deserve salvation. Hey, beloved, God bestowed upon Saul of Tarsus his grace and changed his life. And you know, the Lord did the same thing for me. And if you're here today and born again, the Lord did the same thing for you. Amen. He laid the grace on you. Aren't you glad he laid the grace on you? Hey, you all want to say that with me? Let's say that together. He laid the grace on me. That's what he did. And that's what made me to differ. It could have been dead by now. And some of you might be dead by now if it wasn't for God's grace. Where do you think you'd be today? You're sitting there back there in that pew. Where would you be today if it wasn't for the grace of God? Where would you be today if it wasn't for the grace of God? Well, Paul is now ready. Ready to be offered. Ready to be what? Poured out. He realizes he's getting ready to die. Now, notice what he says. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. He calls his death a what? I like that word. I like that word, departure. He's getting ready to leave. Now, if you go up to the airport, I flew a few times now. I'm experienced at it. Sometimes when you'll hear them say, they'll talk about such and such a plane is getting ready for their departure. That implies they're going somewhere, doesn't it? Did you hear what I just said? That implies they're going somewhere. And that's what Paul was doing here in this particular text. The time of his departure was at hand, like that word. Where was Paul going? Does anybody know? Oh, he's going to glory. Amen. He was going to glory. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, another text that he wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what it said. Y'all believe it? Absent from the body is to be present for the Lord. One of these days, if the Master doesn't come, old Jeff Arthur's going to be laid in the ground somewhere. Old Jeff Arthur's going to be laid in the ground somewhere. But I want you to know something. When they lay me in the ground, I'm not in the ground. You go off to be with the Lord when you die, when you're born again. And I don't think anything is any more important than knowing that for a fact. I know that for a fact. To depart is to be with Jesus. To depart is to be with Him. You got a loved one that has departed that knew Jesus. They're still living. They're with the Lord. And they're better off than we are. Amen. That's just the way it is. Me and Brother Rob sometimes talk about, I miss Brother Coy music. Just something horrible. Every time you go off on a trip, you think about Coy music. Every time I look at that van out there, I think about Coy music. I miss him so bad. I'd love to have him back. But I wouldn't have him back because he wouldn't want to come back. He's with the Lord. Think how glorious that is. He's departed. He's departed. Being departed is a sad thing. But when you remember where they're at, to be absent from the body is to... I think that's your next conscious thought. I think when you're laying there on your deathbed or whatever wherever you might be, and then all of a sudden your spirit is poured out, I think the moment that happens, you're with Jesus. I just do. That's why it says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I think that's your next thing. I think that's the first face you'll see. Remember what I told you about Fannie J. Cosby, who wrote thousands of hymns? Thousands of hymns. She's a blind woman. Wrote all of them hymns. Do you know what she said? Someone made the mistake of pitying her because she was blind. She said, well, if I had anything in the world to wish for, it would be that I'd been born blind. And she said, because the first face I see will be the face of my Savior. Oh, God's people said, that'll be the first face I see will be the face of my Redeemer. One of these days we're going to see Jesus. And that's what we sing at our championship song around here all the time. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Paul was poured out. He was ready to be offered. He was ready to be poured out. I want to talk to everybody here this morning. Are you ready to be poured out? If the Lord would come, or if your death date, you don't know, you know your birth date, but not your death date, but if your death date, God knows your death date. But if your death date would come today, are you ready? Or are you planning on doing it some other time? Or are you planning on putting it off for another day? What in the world are you waiting on? I think the worst gamble anybody ever makes is to assume that they're going to have more time. If you know the way, and you've heard it, and you believe in it, I know a lot of lost people believe in hell. But yet they gamble with their soul every day of their life. I'm going to get ready later. Yeah, I tell you what, beloved, it's a horrible thing when you do the funeral of someone that told you, I'm going to wait till later. That's a rough funeral to do. Well, Paul was what? Ready. He's ready to be poured out. He's going to empty his vessel, and he's going to go off to be with the Lord. And I think that's your next conscience thought. All right, let's look back at our text. Now ready to be offered. He's ready to go. He realized he's going. He said, now notice what else he calls this. He calls it a departure time. There's a time of departure. Y'all believe it? You have a time. Y'all think you got a time? Yeah, I think the Lord has allotted our time. But Ecclesiastes talks about the day of our death. There's a time being allotted. You just don't know when that time's going to be. One of my heroes in history is General Stonewall Jackson. I always liked him. And he was fearless on the battlefield. Absolutely fearless. Be on that horse and just, I would be hiding under something. But he would be right up there where everybody could shoot him, I guess. But he had a courage that was unbelievable on the battlefield. And here's what was said about him. He said, I believe that the Lord hath allotted my time. He said, I believe that the Lord had allotted his time. And if every man felt that way, they would all be truly brave. He realized that if he died, it was by the Lord's divine appointment. He felt that the Lord had established his time, and he wasn't going to go till that time come. You know, I believe that too. I believe the Lord has allotted my time. I like to think it's a little bit later, but I don't know. The Lord has allotted my time, but I'm ready to go either way. There will be a departure time for you. Our time is being already established by the Master. Does everybody in the house agree with that? He's established your time. We just don't know when that time's going to be. Always must be what?
Ready.
Always got to be ready. Always got to be ready. Now, another thing I want you to think under this thing, since you don't know when you want to be departing, don't you want to be about the Lord's business, though? Don't you want to be about serving the Lord? You know, if the Lord said, I'm going to give you 1 month more to serve me on this earth, what would you do for that 1 month? You'd serve him, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd be at every church service probably, wouldn't you? If you had a month, if the Lord said, you got a month now, if the Lord give you a month, I bet you'd be at all the meetings. I bet you'd read your Bible. I bet you'd pray. I bet you'd witness people. Don't you agree? God don't promise you a month. Nobody knows their days and times. So you got to be ready to be poured out. You got to be ready for your departure time all your days, all God's people said. And if you're not ready, you need to get ready today. You need to get ready today. Let's go back to our text. Go back to our text. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. Now he said, the time of my departure, it's at hand, it's here. Not long when this is the last epistle he wrote, and then they cut his head off with a sword. That's what they did. That's what most people think they did. Now, here's what you need to be able to say if you're born again. I love this in verse 7. What's he say? I fought a good what? Fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. He's viewing himself as a soldier. You see, we, in Vacation Bible School this year, we sung the Lord's Army and we all those things about the army. And, well, we're in an army. We're soldiers. We're Christian soldiers. We used to sing that song, Onward Christian Soldier, Marching As to War. We all used to sing those songs all the time. We're Christian soldiers. We need to be good soldiers. We need to be good soldiers. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's what a good soldier does. Let's go back. Well, we're here, so we can go ahead and look at this. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. I want to give you this. I've preached this several times before. What kind of soldier does he want us to be? A good one. You know what a good soldier does? Look at verse 3. Again, he's talking to Timothy, a young preacher, young soldier. He says, thou therefore, what's it tell you to do? Endure hardness. Do we expect soldiers to endure hardness? Well, yeah, you train them that way. Zach was just in, and he joined the Marine Corps. Yeah, he joined the Marine Corps, and Zach was in. And I said, how was it? Oh, my. he said. And he was a distance runner in high school, and I know he could handle the running part, but, boy, the Marine Corps, they get right up in your face and tell you how nice you are, don't they? They get right up on you, and he put up with all of those kind of things. They put them through hardness, and they expect that Marine to endure hardness. They best do it. They best do it. Or they'll be in a, you talk about being in a world of hurt. We train our troops to endure hardness. What kind of soldier would it be that didn't endure hardness? God's people are expected to endure hardness. God's people. Now, one time that meant a whole lot, but here in the United States, it don't mean what it used to be. Man, it don't take anything to knock people off kilter anymore. That's born again. We can expect hardness in this life if we're saved. We can expect it. It's going to come in different kinds of ways. But you've got to do what? You don't quit. What do? You endure the hardness. That's what a good soldier does. A good soldier don't quit. A good soldier endures the hardness. And it'll come at you at times from all different directions. But you got to do what again? You got to endure it with the strength. How do you endure it? You go to the Lord for strength. Have you ever been strengthened by the Lord? He'll give you the strength to endure hardness. That's what I do. I get to feel like I can't handle it. I go to the Lord, and He raises me up, and He gives me the strength that I need. You know, the Bible says that I can do what? Let's do that again. I can do what? Through Christ, which strengthens me. Do y'all believe it? Amen. It's a glorious thing to have. So Paul viewed himself as a soldier, and a soldier is expected to endure hardness. Let's look back at our text. Let's go back to our text. I got to pick it up. 2 Timothy 4. Now ready to be offered. Departure time was ready. He said he fought a what? He fought a good fight. He viewed himself as a soldier. You want to fight well. Now he said, I finished my course. Now he views himself like a runner. He viewed himself like a soldier. Now he views himself like a runner. And this would be more along the line of like a marathon runner, a distance runner. Because the Christian life is also referred to as a Christian what? Race. It's a Christian race. You want to run a good race. The word course is a race course. It would be like distance running is what it's more like. So he said, I finished my course. His race is coming to an end. And he says, notice what else that he says here in the text. He said, I've kept the faith. What does it mean to keep the faith? He kept the truths of the Word of God. He passed them on to others. You pass the truth on to others. You pass the truth of this book on to your children. You hear me? You pass it. Man, if you want to pass something to your children, you pass them the truths of this book. You teach them the book. You train them in the book. You instruct them in the book. Hard to tell what the Lord will do after you're gone in the life of your children. We want our children to be changed, and we want our children to be serving the Lord. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing when you know that you've trained them, and the Lord's able to bring children back to that. He's able to bring children back to that. I've seen children drift and quit serving the Lord and turned their back on the things of the Lord. I've seen that. But when they're trained, the Holy Spirit can take that teaching and bring every bit of it right back to their hearts. Amen. He can, and He does. All God's people say it. It's a glorious thing. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. All right. He viewed himself as a soldier. He viewed himself as a runner. He ran all the way to the end. He never quit. Now let's look down at verse 8, back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's go ahead and notice. He said, I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith, kept the truths of the Word of God. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Everybody say crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. The Bible talks about different crowns. I need to do another message on it. But this particular crown here is called a what? A crown of righteousness. Now notice what else it says. Which the Lord, the righteous judge. Now I want you to notice when you get this crown of righteousness. I want you to notice when you get this crown of righteousness. Now I want you to listen to me now. Henceforth there is laid up for me a what again? A crown of righteousness. So what's the crown made of? It's righteousness. All right. Now when you go get it, when you go get that crown of righteousness, it says, and the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Who's going to give it to you? Oh, it says the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give it to you at that day. He said, but not to me. Now Paul says, just not to me. I'm not the only one going to get that crown of righteousness. But all them that love his what? All them that love his what again? Hey, you here today and saved? If you're here today and born again and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you'd love to see happen? You love his what? Appearing. You get that crown of righteousness at his appearing. Yeah, you really do. You'll get that crown of righteousness at his appearing. You know what that crown of righteousness is, I think? A new body. That's what the crown is. What are you going to get the day when Jesus comes again? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ will do what? What kind of body are they going to get on that? Hey, when the grave's open, what kind of body are they going to get on that day? It's going to be a body that'll never age, it'll never get sick, it'll never die, and it'll never what else? It'll never sin. You'll get a new body on that day. Think about it. That's what the crown of righteousness is. I believe it's what the crown of righteousness is. God's people will be all righteous on that day. Will we be perfect on that day? Will we have any sin on that day? Will we? We'll have a... we got his justification, don't we? But on that day, we'll go get a new body. And the Bible says he's going to change our... Listen now, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He's going to change our vile body. Is this body I'm living in vile? So is yours. And then on that day, what kind of... He's going to change our vile body, and it's going to be fashioned like unto what kind of body? He is... glorious body. We ain't going to have no sin then. Going to be perfect. How righteous am I going to be? 100%. Just like who? Jesus. Just like Jesus. All God's people say it. All right. Let me see if I can find this. Just try to turn to Isaiah. And I'm going to close with this. I'm getting all pumped up and shaky and happy. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, I think. This ain't it, that's all right. Yeah, this is it. Yeah. Yeah, I found it.
What was that?
It's Isaiah 60. Yeah, you want to know where this is at, sis. You really do. Isaiah chapter 60. I want to read this when I get down, but I'm after verse 21, but I'm going to start at verse 18. It talks about the same things that the book of Revelation talks about, except Isaiah sees it in 750 B.C. Now listen to this. Verse 18. Isaiah's seeing way out here. Violence shall nor be heard in your land, wasting nor destruction within your borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. Won't be no sun. Did y'all realize that? Won't be no more sun, but Revelation shows you the same thing. Neither for brightness shall the moon give the light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light. Well, who will be the light?
The Lord.
The Lord. You remember you sing a song when the Lamb becomes the light? The Lord shall be unto you an everlasting light, and your God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thy everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning, oh, what to say there? The days of thy mourning shall be what? No more mourning. The days of thy mourning shall be ended. That's because there's no more death. Do you believe it? Do you believe in a land where there is no death?
Amen.
No funeral homes, no graveyards, nothing like that. That's what he's talking about. Thy people shall be, oh my, look at verse 21. What to say about thy people shall be all what?
Righteous.
What to say?
All righteous.
Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land for how long?
Forever.
And the branch of thy planting and the works of thy hands, that I may be glorified. Thy people shall be all righteous. When will God's people be all righteous? When Jesus comes. When Jesus comes. We're going to get a new body on that day. That's the crown of righteousness. All God's people say it. Hey, you want to go with us? You want to go up? You want to go with us? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, you need what I preached on today. And you can have it. You can have it. You want it. The Bible says, and I believe it, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he set a perfect example for you because he saved the thief on the cross, one of the most focal points in history is when Jesus died on Calvary. He saved a man that day. What did he do to get saved? What did he do?
He called.
He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Realize Jesus is a king. Realize he had a kingdom. Realize there's a life after this one. And Jesus told him what? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. All God's people said. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. All right.